We are in our study of Proverbs. Our topic today is wisdom and friendship. And this one, the outline is comes from Derek Kidner in his commentary on Proverbs. He has an article called The Friend in this this study. And so I'm basically following his outline. So our text to start with is Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This is the classic verse on friendship in the book of Proverbs and perhaps in the whole Bible. So we'll put that up on the screen here as well. And then I'm going to add another one, Proverbs 18:17. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Now you're going to see that I have both the word friend there in 17:17 and the word another in 18:17 are bolded. They're the same Hebrew word. In fact, the word that is translated friend in Proverbs 17:17 is a very broad word. Now, it is correct, the translation of 17:17 is correct, but it can have quite a different meaning. So, in 18:17, the friend is the fellow who's taking him to court. The first to plead his cause seems right until another comes and examines him. So, this is your friend. Okay? Now, and I don't know if you've ever been in court, but the opposing lawyers will refer to themselves to each other as my friend. That's, I guess, that kind of usage of this friend. They might be on opposite sides, but my learned friend, right? So the lawyer on the other side. All right, so the Hebrew word is used. Okay, I've got a little thing on your notes. I'm giving you a few blanks here, and I'm going to give you the various different meanings so you can think about this word. The Hebrew word is used to mean friend, all right? We see that in 17:17. Also, neighbor is another word that you'll see it translated as neighbor or associate. And that associate can be a close friend or an occasional friend or acquaintance almost. Kidner says, at the far extreme, it signifies merely the other fellow. Okay, the other fellow. At its nearest, it stands for a person with whom one has a close fellowship. So, while the word is used that way, God clearly wants us to look at other people differently. We have, in our, we tend to think of our own needs, but God calls us, Leviticus 19:18, the latter part of the verse, he says, starts off, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And there's again that same word translated neighbor in Leviticus 19:18. So neighbor, friend, associate, acquaintance, even a stranger, the other fellow. When we add in our Lord's teaching about the neighbor in the New Testament, we see that the biblical expectation is for us to have a high regard for the other fellow, whether he be a close associate or not. So Jesus in the Good Samaritan, I suppose, is the ultimate story. The Samaritans were at odds with the Jews, and this Samaritan man took care of this beaten Jewish man in the parable. And then Jesus says, which one was a neighbor to him? Well, obviously, it's the Samaritan. So it's this idea, this other fellow here. But there is such a thing as a close friend, a close other fellow. And so recently in our study, we talked about influence and associations. And one of the things that I said was that you should cultivate good influences. The way you do that is by finding good friends and by being a good friend. So, I have actually a statement to launch our study. Friendship is not passive enjoyment of another fellow's favor. It is active promotion of the other fellow's good. Okay, not passive enjoyment of another fellow's favor. It is active promotion of the other fellow's good. Okay, so, our outline, first of all, the good neighbor. What I want to do is, I'm going to give you some verses. So, and I think, did I give you blanks? I think I gave you blanks with verses, didn't I? With verse references? I don't have the same thing on my notes here, so that's where I'm, I built your handout from my notes, but it's not exactly the same as your, is what you have. So here's the first reference. And I hope that's kind of small, looks like to me. Can you see that okay? Those in the back, you can see it okay? Okay, so Proverbs 3:29, do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. So what kind of characteristic, and in this category we're calling social expectations, what would you call this characteristic, this wisdom that he's telling us here in Proverbs 3:29? Okay, James. Okay, simply neighborly. Were you going to say something, Tola? Safety, okay. Well, yes, he lives securely beside you. Yes, I see that. All right, anything else you want to mention about that? What is neighborliness? Okay, so you're not plotting against him. It's not a feud. That's the ideal anyway. You know, your neighbors are people that you look out for. And, you know, if they're away, you feed their cat or their plants or whatever. Rob?
Yeah, I guess just what you're saying, it seems to apply the opposite, like don't devise harm. So you could say, you know, provide good.
Right, provide good for your neighbor. That's right. Okay, Lee, were you going to add something?
And I say you don't necessarily pick your neighbor either. So
that's right, you don't pick your neighbor. That's a good point. All right, yes. And so there is an attitude that, you know, like, why cause your neighbor trouble? All right, so I've got several. Okay, I think Augustine is first. So we'll go there.
Extend care.
Yeah, extend care. All right, Addie?
It's a meeting for camaraderie.
Camaraderie, okay, yes. Lola?
Not to act malicious towards your neighbor.
Right, not to act malicious towards your neighbor. That's right. Okay, so I think, okay, I was short this morning, so we do have extra time. So I will expand. Tola first.
Like what the Bible says, just go do good, do as unto others.
Right, do as unto others, do good to them. That's right, okay. Okay, man, we're getting all kinds of hands here. My wife had her hand up earlier, so I'll let her talk. I know I'll hear about it later if I don't know. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. I do this and she comes, why did you say that? See, I get in trouble. And now I'm going to get in trouble twice. Okay, so go ahead, Debbie.
No, taking off of what Lee had said about we don't pick our neighbors, but God does. And sometimes
that's a good point.
Neighbors that are, well, different from you. And yeah. You got to always bear in mind, God has a purpose for them living next.
Yeah, I saw a quote online here recently. I'm not quite sure. I think it was in the BJU alumni group. And they were talking about something from Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who was known as a fighting fundamentalist. Okay? But he said, I find that in most people, I can find something to like. In almost everybody. All right, so Christy.
So I'm thinking of, in Romans, I think it says love does no harm to its neighbor, and it's like satisfying the second half of the commandments.
Yeah.
You're not going to murder, you're not going to steal, you're not going to commit adultery, you're not going to covet, you won't do any of those things if you love your neighbor.
That's right. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. I know that there's lots of things to think about, but okay, so this quality, Proverbs 25:8-9, do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Argue your case with your neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another. All right, so what is, this is that word. So what do we think about this one? What's he saying here? Lee.
I don't know if I'm applying this right, but this one always drives me nuts because there is this, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, instead of actually talking to someone, people will typically try and skirt around that conflict and go to, like, you know, a homeowners association, the legal system, you name it.
That's right.
To try and avoid that conflict directly, but there's so much that can be solved.
Okay, that's a very good point. So how often, I've heard of issues between neighbors, where instead of actually going and sitting down and saying, hey, could we work this out so we could, you know, mutual, but no, they'll, like you say, go to the homeowners association, go to court, you know, sue somebody, and keep that distance. That's not being a friend. That's not being a neighbor. All right. I was, and in the way, I was talking to somebody, and then some of these new subdivisions we have here, they're not giving enough parking, as you may be aware. And in neighborhoods, that is a big issue. You have your garage. What's a garage for? It's not for cars. Anyway, you have your garage, you have your driveway, and there's that place in front. And there's supposed to be, I think, one for each house. And so where do you park? Where do your visitors park? And then what happens when somebody is visiting somebody else and they're in your spot? Same thing happens at church, doesn't it? Okay? Because we all tend to sit in the same place. And all I say is get here early, you know? Get here early. You're good. All right. I saw some other hands. Anybody else want to talk on this one? Debbie?
I just have a question about what it means about that. Do not reveal the secret of another. I don't get that.
Well, I think, okay. So in other words, argue your case with your neighbor. Do not reveal the secret of another. So you got a problem with your neighbor. What do we tend to do? I'll talk to the other guy next door about that guy over there. So I'm revealing his secret, his offense. I'm talking to somebody else about it. When in reality, what I should do is go to that person and try to work it out. Right, Lee?
And you're not going to win that neighbor over by like shaming them publicly.
Right.
Even if you're in the right.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, Augustine.
But I think with respect to the first phrase there, you're slow to speak and quick to listen.
That's right. Slow to speak and quick to listen. Amen. That's Book of James. Christy.
There's another one in the New Testament about that one, I think, as well, where it talks about, or you might find yourself being put in jail or having.
Yeah, that's right.
And I do that with my kids. I'm like, before you come and tattle to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You make sure your story is right, because yeah, then you're going to talk to the other person.
That's right. Yes, and often the first person comes is not always telling the whole story. All right, so.
Well, sir, I have a question. Who is that neighbor we are talking about? But there are so many neighbors.
Right. Okay, so who is the neighbor we're talking about? Well, when you look at what the Bible says, it's not just the guy next door. It's basically, you know, the other fellow, anybody. Okay, so it you know, we really need to treat everybody we meet as kindly as we can. And for some of us, that's hard.
There are some neighbors, even if you go to them peacefully,
yes,
with humility, they don't even want to listen.
That's right. Yes.
Especially maybe when you have different faiths.
Yes.
Some will see you as a threat.
Yes.
They might not want to listen to you. In such situation, what do you do?
That's right.
The Bible says, answer the foolish.
That's right. Yes. Well, we want to be neighborly. And the thing is that if they will not listen, then sometimes Paul says, why didn't you suffer wrong? You know, take it. Mm-hmm. It's better to keep the relationships than try to win the arguments. All right, I guess Gordon is next.
Somebody mentioned do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And that you need to remember, Jordan, you're the neighbor of your neighbor.
That's right, right? Yeah.
And, yeah. So you want to be treated well.
Yes. And I think as you do well to people, it disarms them, even if they are hostile towards you. You may not solve the immediate problem, but over time, if you continue to be friendly and you continue to be a good neighbor, you can win even your hostile neighbor sometimes. Anyway, Cornelius, I think, had some.
I think what piggybacks onto it, you said, it's in Psalms, you swear to your own heart.
Yes, mm-hmm. And change not. Amen. Yes. Maureen wants to add something?
I was just going to say, in a situation where someone was unreasonable, you have the ability to take your case before God.
Yes.
And he asked him to execute justice for him.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. We can talk all day about each one, I'm sure. Proverbs 24:17-19, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked. And so, let's see, what would you say here is a simple principle or summation of what this one is saying? Miyala.
Because sometimes you can easily fall by yourself.
Yeah, you can fall yourself, that's right. Okay.
Don't rejoice when your enemy, you know, suffers, you know,
yes,
harm or whatever. I mean, you know, the natural tendency is, you know.
Yeah, he deserved it, man. Yeah, that's right. That is. Okay, so Lee and then Addie.
I would say that kind of like gloating satisfies that sinful lust inside. You know?
Yeah, that's right. The gloating satisfies the sinful lust inside. Addie.
A duty of care to everyone around us.
Yes, we have a duty of care. All right, and James?
What if my rival football team loses?
Ah, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, maybe you're allowed a second of gloating. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, yes. But because your team will lose eventually, so remember that. All right.
We should not also be envious when the wicked are prospering.
Yes, not be envious when the wicked are prospering. You know, and we live in a world where the wicked prosper. A lot of the times, not all the wicked, but some of them. Look at some of those who have, you know, made some new software thing, and they are suddenly a billionaire, and they're, you know, read about their lives, and they're the most awful people. Some of them, not all of them. And so, you know, but envy is not going to help us. All right, so we're talking about our spirit, Lola.
Question,
sure.
Part of the Bible, I don't know exactly where now, that says when the righteous prosper, the people rejoice. When the wicked, there's shouts of joy when the wicked perish. So I'm wondering how we can reconcile that with.
Okay. So what do you know? What passage that
I
is?
Think it's in the Psalms.
I think it's in the Psalms.
I read it recently, and I think that when, like a ruler, like if you have like I think that if we consider our rulers as unjust, and then they fall, people are rejoicing because then there's more justice in the streets. So I think it's in reference to those that in rule.
Okay, I'd have to look at the passage directly and think about it. There are some things we're talking here, and mostly about personal relationships in Proverbs, and so you know, there may be other passages where the context is slightly different. Certainly, I mean, well, let's put it this way.
It's Proverbs 29:2.
29:2?
Yeah.
Proverbs. Okay. I'll just look that up. Okay.
It's also Proverbs 11:10 is similar.
Okay. Okay. So just a second here. Yeah, that's not quite the one she was referring to. What would you say, 11?
10.
Okay. Okay, by the blessing of... Yeah, that's still not quite... I'm pretty sure what she's referring to is the Psalms. Are you trying to find it, Maureen?
Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority...
Yes.
The people rejoice, but when the wicked bear it, the people mourn.
Yes, yes, but that's not quite the same verse that she was referring to. It's similar. Well, let's leave that one for now. It's I would want to see the context to be able to give you a good answer, and I don't want to give you just an off the cuff answer, so that it's, you know, I don't think about it. I want to think about it. All right, Gordon.
I don't know where it is, but like that, neither the envious of the wicked.
Yeah.
I think it's David that. Somebody anyways that when you realize their end.
Yes.
Right?
That's right. Pity them rather than envy. All right, so let's move on to the next one, because we're getting slain in this one. All right, so this one: if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink, or you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So what is this? What are we to do here? What quality are we looking at here? Compassion, okay. Kindness, okay. Yes, it's as Jesus said, do good to your enemy, do good to them that despitefully use you. All right, Maureen.
It's sort of like a way to deal with what's already said in Proverbs 24.
Yeah.
So when your enemy falls, you should do what's said in Proverbs 25.
Right. Okay. So it's an answer to what we just read in Proverbs 24. Okay, Cornelius.
Yeah, I think it exemplifies the love of God that when you treat somebody who doesn't deserve good treatment, eventually he cannot stand before that loving treatment.
That's right.
That's the power of love.
Yes.
And no criminal, no murderer, no anything can really when it hits them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I said, even in those who are sometimes the most vile, now some people are just so angry and wicked and bitter and antagonistic, they hate really the world and everybody in it. It's really hard to reach them. I mean, I think that what we're talking about here is wisdom and how to deal with other people. And it's not to fight, not to combat their wrath with equal wrath, but try to, in the spirit, do good to them and try to win them in that way. Okay, Gordon.
I've always wrestled with this verse out of Romans, because the second one, thou shalt reap fire.
Yes.
That seems to be the opposite of what. So I just wrestled with it.
Okay, so what he's saying there, the heaping burning coals on his head. What he's saying there is that if you are kind to somebody who is your enemy, you know, they're in real need and you meet their need, you are bringing greater conviction to them.
Okay,
it's because it makes their wickedness towards you less and less justified.
So conviction rather than revenge.
Yeah, it's not revenge. Okay, I'm going to do good to you now. I see how you like that. I mean, that's not what we're talking about, okay? Debbie.
Yeah, I think with that one, it's that we don't do the good so that we can get coals on his head. We do the good because we know that's the right thing to do. And I think the world always notices when believers act exactly opposite of what would be the natural way to act. And I think actually that's the life in a nutshell, really, is learning to learning to go against our natural inclination.
That's right. When we're in conflict, we want to get the dukes up, right? But the way of Christ, I mean, it doesn't mean there are circumstances for example, you hear about people who have, you know, murdered a family member, and maybe they're a believing family, and they'll go into court and they will give a statement of forgiveness. And it is not like that person still has, you know, they've been caught with the crime. They still have to pay for their crime. But there's no need to just be, you know, I've heard other people interviewed and, oh, he got what he deserved, or he didn't get enough, or things like that. Well, that's not going to help you to hold those kind of attitudes. It's going to harm you ultimately. All right. Was there Cornelius? Were you?
Yeah, I think that's evangelism. Form.
Yeah, okay. And then, now, Kenneth.
There is a section of the Bible which says, flee from every appearances of evil.
Yes, that's precisely.
I would say that there are some enemies, regardless of what you do to them, you can't please them. So in that regard, I think it's better to...
Well, we can, it doesn't mean that we have to be their best friends.
Yeah.
Okay. But, and when it says flee from all appearances of evil, I think that has to do with our own... Like even in our own behavior, we don't want to have any. We want our behavior to be such that people can't say that's evil. So it's a little bit different from the evil person. But regardless, the evil person may not want to have anything to do with you. You can accept that.
Yeah.
But when you meet him, when you see him, or you have an opportunity to do good to him, then the message of the Bible is do good to your neighbor or to your enemy. All right, Maureen.
So could you say then, because there are some people that are really evil and they're breaking the law.
Yeah.
Right? So it wouldn't mean that if my enemy is breaking the law against me that I don't go to the police.
Right.
Right? I mean, I would still appeal to an authority when it's really, like say, violent behavior. Or
right.
Whatever.
So,
but sometimes people can just not like you at work. Or,
right.
You know, there's levels of... would you say, regardless, you should be praying and asking God to give you the right attitude, but I think that for Paul, for example, appealed to the authorities when he was put in jail. Unjustly.
Yes. Okay, so we're touching here on some concepts about pacifism. I actually did in the latest Frontline, somebody might need to help Blue there. In the latest Frontline, there was an article about
water.
Wolf went to get some water or something.
Yeah, she's got some water.
Okay. All right. Okay, so Wolf went to... Wolf, sorry. We'll have to cut this out of the recording.
We don't know where Wolf went.
I don't know where Wolf went. Went to get water. Okay, so on the... this recent issue of Frontline, there was an article on pacifism. And I hope, by the way, I hope you've been able to subscribe digitally. Some of you have. And the, but I hope that you can, get involved with that. But I read it on my phone. I was the first one I've read on my phone, the whole article. Okay, so I interviewed the author just Friday. And we were talking about, like, pacifism is the idea that no violence. You just never do anything violent. Well, in response to evil. And so it's sort of related to this. But, for example, there is a proportionality factor. And we talked about this in the interview. So if you've got a neighbor who doesn't like you, and every morning he drives out of his driveway, he stops in front of your house, and he's yelling at you and cursing you and causing a ruckus, then he goes off to work. Okay, so you're not going to go out there, you know, and, tangle with him physically. You're not going to go beat him up or something like that. You're not going to, you know, use any violence against him. But if that same neighbor comes into your, you know, breaks down the door of your house and is coming for you, then you know, the Bible, it doesn't say, okay, just take it. That's not what he's saying. It's saying you do what you need to do to protect yourself and your family. Okay, so I think that's part of what we're wrestling with when we think about dealing with our neighbor or enemies here. And so in this case, if we look directly at our verse, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. Now, you're not close friends with your enemy, but if there is something you know he's in trouble and you can help him, then go help him. And that's what he's saying. It's not, like in the midst of a conflict, there may be, you may need to protect your family against a violent person. It may be that in the scenario I'm describing, the guy that's yelling and causing a ruckus in the street, it may be that the police could talk to him. Okay, that's really not appropriate behavior. He may not like you. Doesn't have to like you. We don't have to agree with each other on everything. But, you know, you're disturbing the peace. You're disturbing the neighborhood. It's not just me. There's that. So there are certain levels. But basically, on a personal, this is talking about our personal philosophy. We've got somebody who we know they don't like us, but we hear that they are in a bad way. Maybe they have a family member pass away and there's a need and maybe you bring a meal over. Say, look, I just want to help you. Okay? Whatever it is. I'm just, you know, it's a way to show yourself a good neighbor to the person who is your enemy. All right, so one more, two more actually in this section. He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silence. Now this one's a little harder. What do you think about this one? Debbie?
Sounds to me just like don't give voice to everything you feel.
Yeah, okay, don't give voice to everything you feel. I think that's about what it is. And the notes from Kidner, just a second, from notes from Kidner, he used the term generous silence. Okay? And so, all right, Tola.
Yeah. That we should not shun our neighbor.
Right.
We should not avoid them.
Right.
Because there's no sense in that.
Right.
But when they come to us, maybe they are talking too much or whatever, we keep silent.
Right.
Because silence is golden.
Silence is golden, yes. Okay, there are times when it's just better not to talk. That is true. It's hard for some of us. Okay, that's true. And I'm one of them. Okay, Lee.
Is it also talking like, because I know you're going to have like sometimes like-minded people, like another neighbor that lives, or somebody, you know, a friend, it's easy to like slander or talk.
It is, yes, yes.
With that person.
Yeah, it's always best to avoid talking about somebody else with other people, mm-hmm. if you can. We don't always do it. And sometimes we can get ourselves in trouble. We say things against another that causes hurt, and there's division, and so sometimes it's better just to keep silent and let things play out. Okay, so, alright, so there's that neighborliness of silence. Alright, last one. He who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. So what are we looking for here, Richard?
Sometimes there is no good reason to despise your neighbor.
Okay, sometimes there is no good reason to despise your neighbor.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Do not do that. Be gracious to your neighbor.
Right, okay, so being gracious to your neighbor. Now, what he adds in here, happy is he who is gracious to the poor. What does the poor add into the picture of this verse?
The needy.
The needy, but there's something more I want you to see here.
It's the neighbor.
He's the neighbor, all right,
Lee? Like no judgment?
No judgment, all right. So it's easy to think, well, those people, whatever they are, the poor, the, you know, people in that city, you know, I remember when we moved to Victoria, we were in, living in, on Craigflower Road, and out here was called the Western Communities. And they call it West Shore now, but they used to call it the Western Communities. Now, those of you who lived here back in those days, what kind of, sense did people have of the Western Communities?
The dog patch.
That's right. That's right. And we used to call, especially Langford, the Langford Dog Patch. And I used to say, there's a certain section, actually, I saw Miello, she lives on one of these streets back here, and that was, we thought of it as the Langfordiest part of Langford. All right, so it was sort of, it was an older community, smaller, older houses, not as wealthy, and of course, so people who lived in Victoria were better than the people out here. So the idea here, I think, is that has changed. That has changed. Oh,
now Sook.
Yeah, now Sook is the dog patch. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we're always living in the dog patch. That's it. So whenever.
That's been
rough
there.
That's right.
I mean, like that name has been there for as long as I can remember. Like even in the 80s, we would jump out of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. That's the time I'm talking about. That's when we came here. Okay. So. All right. So he who despises his neighbor sins. So all those people in Victoria, what that? They were sinners. Okay, now, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. Now, gracious does not mean condescending. Doesn't mean, oh, you poor person, I'm gonna. It means actually loving, treating people right, treating them as equals. All right, Maureen.
I just want to mention my mother was a very good example of this.
Okay.
In a sense of, like, because often you can think of it as someone far away.
Yeah.
But there were people who lived on our street who didn't have a lot of money. And,
yeah.
And a lot of, didn't dress nicely.
Yes.
And didn't have a nice father necessarily or a nice lifestyle. And my mother was always very, very kind.
Yes.
And gracious to those children and treated them just like any other child on the street.
Yes, she did. Yeah, she did. She was wonderful that way. She was always reaching out, trying to win the kids and the parents to the Lord. And some of them she did. So, all right. Okay, so we are, I was a little worried about this because of all the many verses. There's a few more in this particular section. I'm going to, let's just see here. We'll see. Okay, so the latter part of this is a little faster, so we'll maybe get through. All right, so the good neighbor. So this verse here, this is tempered by discerning constraints. So what is the constraint here? Proverbs 22:24-25. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. So what is this? This is an admonition, but what is he admonishing us about in terms of our relations with other people? Who, by definition, the other person is our neighbor. So what is this admonishment about? Debbie?
Isn't it about making close friends with people like this?
Okay, don't make close friends with people like this. Lee?
I think of that First Corinthians thing, the passage 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits.
Okay, evil company corrupts good habits or good morals, as the King James says. All right. Was there somebody else over here? I saw another hand fleetingly. Okay.
You relate with them at arm's length.
Pardon me?
You relate with them at arm's length.
At arm's length, yes. Okay, that's right. Keep now. Okay, the thing is, what we're advocating here in neighborliness, we're not saying they're going to be your best friends. As long if they're going to walk, they're not going to walk with the Lord. They're going to be an angry person. Okay, there may be things that you can do for them to try to help them, but you want to you want to keep a distance from them. Okay? All right, so let's move on to the next one. Now we've already talked about this passage quite a bit, so we won't spend a lot of time on this one. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, deliver yourself, since you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. So the picture of this is the person who has been a guarantee for a loan. And that's what surety means. We've talked about this before. So again, there's a warning about getting too close to people who maybe are going to entrap you. Okay? So I'm going to move on from that one simply because we've already discussed this one quite a bit at length. All right. The righteous is guide. This is Proverbs 12:26. The righteous is guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So this verse is a little bit... there's a little bit of controversy in the translation. I'm going to give you an alternate translation from the NET Bible, New English Translation. For the righteous person is cautious in his friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, I think the King James has a third option here. But the parallel, the second part of the verse, sort of gives the sense. The righteous person, okay, is to keep his distance because he looks to each relationship prudently. We are advocating being friendly and gracious to other people, but we are also advising a certain caution in our relationship with other people. We don't just simply or enter into a close relationship with them for no reason. Any comments on these that we've looked at here, Debbie?
Well, I was thinking that all of this, I mean, you're talking about your neighbor, and that could be distinguished from a friend.
Right.
A neighbor is anybody in your acquaintance, but a friend is someone you choose.
Okay, that's a good point. So we can distinguish between a neighbor and a friend. A friend is someone... A neighbor could be anybody, but a friend is someone you choose. The second part of this study is about the good friend. I'm just watching my clock. Well, we'll see. But that's exactly what we're after. All right, Christy?
Well, the people that we come into contact with, they should know who we are and what we represent.
Yes.
It shouldn't come as a surprise to them.
Yeah.
Years later, that...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then Addie.
Yeah. Taking up with Christy, I think that as Christians, we have like shield. You can either turn people to Christ or turn them away from Christ.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That's right. All right. And then Marlene, did you want to add something?
To have discernment.
To have discernment. So that's at the end of this. I have the disposition of a good neighbor, friendly but cautious. Okay. All right. Friendly but cautious. Okay. And there's one more verse. This one is sort of the opposite spirit. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. So the wicked person he looks at his neighbor and he sees nothing good. That's the opposite. All right, Rob.
Can I give an example of that?
Okay. I fear and trepidation, I'll let you.
I worked with a fella, I was about 40 years old, he was approaching 65, he had a big dispute with his neighbor about their shared parking driveway. So what he did is the root of his tree that was on his side of the property, cut into it and poisoned it.
Yeah.
Killed the neighbor's tree.
Yes.
Because he was so angry at it.
Yes, and I...
But you know, when he died, everyone talked so nicely, he never had...
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's interesting. I knew a guy just like that. I had his house for sale, and the reason he wanted to sell is he had done that to his neighbor's house.
Oh,
he'd cut into their trees, because they wouldn't...
That's just like so revengeful.
And, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah. It's like people can really become something. Anyway,
it's interesting because even in the secular world, like these encounters have, I've used it before, like the sin has a blast radius. It has this blast radius. Like we have an HOA or a strata, and I've been taking something to the dump essentially and sparked up a conversation with somebody and let them know where they immediately went, like, oh, you have that strata or that. Oh, that was like, yes, you know, what does that mean? They knew of some of the conflicts that my neighbors had. Like, did not live there. It's just that word got out.
Right.
So there
right.
was.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So what Lee is saying is that these sins have what he calls a blast radius. In other words, it has a wide effect. Okay, so, and I think...
Yeah, instead of pulling people together, you know, it's just... You know,
people start taking sides, they hear part of the story, you know, and so on. Yes?
Well, ironically, when the wicked dies,
yeah.
I mean, we ought to be weeping,
yeah.
because it's not going to make heaven.
That's right,
when
yeah.
When the righteous die, we should be rejoicing, but the opposite is the sun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're right. Amen. Okay, so let's move on to... let's see, I'm watching, we still have the good friend. I think we have time. I think I have, what is it, four characteristics. So I'm going to give you a bunch of proverbs, and then we're going to try to come up with the characteristic. Okay, so, the poor is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. That's the first proverb. Alright, now, the wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. And then, many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All right, so the good friend. How are we going to get something, a quality of the good friend, from this? All right, so that's, oh, let's see here. Where am I at? 19. Oh, I've got more verses to go. All right, verse 7, 19:7. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. So in the notes here, these are the fair weather friends. Okay, so let's now, but there are constant friends. So let's look at these verses. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And 17:17, our verse, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And then finally, oops, I must not have copied it. So we'll just go with these. So what attribute of friendship does a true friend have? We have those first several verses talking about the fair weather friend. If you give me gifts, you know, I'll be your friend if you give me things, right? Okay, but then there is a friend who sticks closer than the brother. So what quality are we looking for here in a good friend?
Consistency.
I heard that word, all right?
One that's not, whose friendship isn't,
fickle.
Based on the other person's economic standing.
Okay, one whose friendship is not based on the other person's economic standing, okay? What else? Anybody else want to talk? I like that word consistency. Yes?
I think empathy.
Empathy, okay. All right, Marlene.
Trustworthy.
All right. So the word that I have, has it showed up?
Yes.
Okay, constancy. That's because I hit this button too many times. Okay, constancy. So consistency, constancy. You want a friend who will stick close to you. All right, so that's the good friend. All right, so let's move to the next one. I'm sort of rushing, I know. Okay. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. That's one proverb. And then, a man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Okay. And then one more, he who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. So what kind of quality does a good friend have here? Maureen?
You know, point out things that you
would be helpful for you to change.
Okay, he points out things that would be helpful for you to change. All right, is there somebody else over here?
Rebukes.
Honest?
Rebukes.
Rebukes, okay.
Void of hypocrisy.
Pardon me?
Void of hypocrisy.
Not, okay, void of hypocrisy, all right. Oh, okay, you, okay. Gordon.
Tells you the truth.
Tells you the truth. Rob.
Well, yeah, I would say it would be like somebody who is actually out for your best interests.
Right, somebody out for your best interests. Okay. So the word I have here is candor. Okay, candor. You know, they're willing to tell you the truth. A good friend will tell you the truth. Okay, the other friend, the person who's not a good friend will let you, they'll let you go and hang yourself. You know, metaphorically speaking. They see you're heading for a wreck. Oh, okay, let's see what happens. Be entertained. Okay, Debbie?
Excuse me, I think this one is a tough one. Because the closer you get to a person, the more you do see their flaws.
That's right. It is.
But you value that friendship, and so you don't want to say what may
exactly.
be the hurtful but good thing to say.
Right. But you also have to think about how to say it, I'm sure.
Yes, of course.
You know, like often...
But if you're going to wound somebody, I don't care how nicely you say it.
Yeah.
It's still going to wound them.
Yeah, if you're going to wound somebody,
it
will hurt, yeah. Yes, but the thing is, to discern between, you know, so, well, I'm just being a good friend to you, right? And you know, sometimes people, they couch their wounding in the language of friendship when they're not really being friends. Okay, so this is, now the relationship of a close friend, a good friend, there has to be a certain amount of candor. You can say things. But this, for the relationship needs to be strong enough to endure the criticisms. And the criticisms need to be obviously given in love and so forth. All right, Rob?
Betty says, good friends, they should say, good friends play chess.
Good friends play chess. Right. Okay, I'm not sure that's on my list. Okay, the next one. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. All right, and then iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So just the two verses on this. What would you say this quality is? Gordon?
When somebody is telling you the truth.
Yeah, but somebody is telling you the truth.
Yeah, it's like, be right? glad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be thankful.
Be thankful. Anybody else want to give something?
Someone that is always there for you.
Someone's always there for you. Okay, with Christy?
Well, it's not a relationship based on frivolity. Like, we're actually,
right.
like, growing together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not just a frivolous relationship. All right, so the word for this one is counsel. Okay, a good friend gives good counsel. All right, one more for this one. Okay, let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become weary of you and hate you. All right. Okay, so there's that one. Okay. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned a curse to him. That's why my wife lets me sleep. All right. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. That's quite a statement, a proverb, isn't it? All right. And do I have one, a couple more? One more, I love this one. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? I do really like this one. I've used this many times and they have refused to receive my counsel. Won't name any names. All right. Okay, so what is, how would you describe this? There's similar advice in all four of these proverbs. Okay, Miela.
Well, okay. You must always do a thing which is in other person's real need.
Okay, in other person's real need. All right, Emily?
Well, I'm just thinking of combining those two to wake up teenagers. That's,
that's right, combining those two to wake up teenagers,
they
yes. They don't appreciate it. Well, that's a little different, though. All right, Marlena.
Considerate.
Okay, considerate. That's a good word. And you're getting to where I'm wanting to go with this. Christy.
Entertaining yourself at someone else's expense.
Yeah, well, entertaining yourself at someone else's expense. That can be a part of this. But anything else?
Well,
Discretion. Okay, so discretion and considerate. Okay, here's the word I have is tact. Tact. Okay, so we're not, you know, in the notes here, these are all negative examples of overstaying a welcome, hardiness at the wrong time, insensitivity, not knowing when to give up a joke. Okay, like a joking's fine, but sometimes it just is too much. All right, so the last thing we're mentioning here is the element of risk. I'm just going to mention a few proverbs and explain what we're talking about here. That leaves the... Okay, so these are all used... okay, so this is a different word for friendship. It is the strongest word for friend in Hebrew, one that speaks of close intimacy, a bosom companion. But ironically, it is often used in the context of betrayal in Proverbs. So this one talks about the woman that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Proverbs 2:17, the strange woman, okay? Then, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Okay? And so this is the word companion, is the word for friends here. And then 17:9, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. So the repeater of secrets. So the point here is we need to guard close friendships. Okay, so there are, you know, we need to cultivate close friendships with people who are walking with God, but we also need to guard those friendships against our own weakness and betrayal, and you know, with the wisdom that of tact that we talked about before, candor. So candor and tact are sort of, you know, like we might say, well, I'm just being candid. Well, yeah, but you didn't do it in a tactful way. So the balance of friendship is going to balance out those two concepts. Okay, so I didn't put it on the screen, but on the very first screen that we had, we talked about this idea. Friendship is not passive enjoyment of another fellow's favor. It is active promotion of the other fellow's good. So that's what we're after when we're talking about friendship and wisdom. There's a lot of factors to take into consideration here, and there is a sense of being a good neighbor to all, but when we're talking about friendship, there are several elements the Proverbs are addressing. And we're out of time, so that's why I've just been rushing here towards the end. I didn't want to leave half of this because it wasn't really long enough to have a second session. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer and we'll have lunch. Our Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this study of friendship. We pray that it'll bless us and teach us, instruct us in our own walk with you. We pray that you will help us to be faithful to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.